Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, the win streak now at 8 for the A-State women's basketball team. Indoor track and field was in action over the weekend. More baseball renovations, some exciting stuff there. But we're going to start with the first place men's basketball team. That's got a good ring to it. The Red Wolves with a couple of more wins last week. They ended Appalachian State's five-game win streak with a 65-55 victory in front of 6,200-plus and a national TV audience back on Thursday night. Then they wrapped up the homestand with an 80-65 win over Texas State on Saturday. Red Wolves now off to their best start through 21 games in 36 seasons. Got to go back to the 88-89 campaign, the last time the Red Wolves had a start like this, and now a 14-game home win streak dating back to last year, and that's the longest in 34 seasons. And here to talk about all this good stuff with us today, the redshirt sophomore point guard from Chicago, Illinois, it's Terrence Ford. How you doing, Terrence?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for coming in today.
Appreciate you for having me.
All right, so we just wrapped up this four-game homestand. You win all four games by double digits. You get to play in front of well over 5,000 fans in all of those games. I know it's fun, but to see everybody buying in the way they are right now, how much more fun does that make it?
I mean, I feel like it make it like you come to work every day just with a smile on your face because you ain't got to worry about nobody hating on one another or et cetera, et cetera. I feel like everybody just motivate each other. Like, even when in games, the players on the bench, they telling the starters, like, do this. Like, they just keeping every – we hold each other accountable, and I feel like that's the best part of our team. Like, we police each other real well, and we have fun also while we're doing it.
So, even if you didn't get to be out there last year the way you wanted to be, but having been here the year before that, what was it like – not the record. What was it like to watch – the crowds grow the way they did from your first year here to what you were seeing happen last year to now what you're seeing this year?
Last year, like, it had me itching to get back on the court because, like, I see the crowd coming. Like, that's what I like playing in front of a lot of people. And so when I seen the crowd coming, it just had me so ready to get back to come out and play. And then I seen my teammates winning, having fun. It was a point in time where I was kind of, like, lost, like, being out, sitting out, really confused. But I just found joy with learning how to be a better teammate on the sideline.
I do want to get more into that as we go along here, but kind of sticking with the games just this past week, I thought it was really interesting because there were two really different themes going into those games.
Yeah.
First off, you played an App State team that they had won five games in a row going into that game. We were kind of talking about it going in. This game features two of the top 20 defenses in the country right now. So we knew it was going to be a really defensive-minded game. It was a low-scoring game. You won 65-55. So then 2 days later, we're talking about the two top-scoring offenses in the conference with you guys and Texas State, and you're able to win that game as well. And I think as much as anything, it shows just how this team can win in different ways.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the coaching staff, they put a big emphasis on starting the game off with defense. And I feel like we all just take joy in guarding. Like, if my matchup killing me, I'm going to have, like, Kobe or D4 yelling at me, like, come on, T, guard. Like, it's the same way. Like, if they match up stopping them, I'm going to get on them. Like, I feel like that's where the defensive pride come in at it. Like, that's where we have fun at on defense, man.
18th in the country as a team right now in field goal defense. You're now top 10 in the country in three-point defense. And you talk about you guys in the backcourt guarding. Here's a stat for you. The last three games, your opponents are 7 of 65 from three. That's pretty unheard of. Yeah. So to be able to guard the three like that, I know you guys take a lot of pride in that.
Yeah, we do. We do. And I think it starts in practice. Like, in practice, it's not easy to score the ball, and it's not easy, like, to guard. So, like, we get better in practice, pushing each other, they competing, talking smack and coaches getting involved, having great energy. I feel like that's what we get our winning percentage from.
When I saw Coach Hodson on Thursday, real quick, I said, you'll give me the scout on App State. And one of the first things he said is their point guard might be the best player in the league. When you hear that, because I know he told you that, you guys,
yeah,
that
he
too.
He told me that.
What'd that do for you?
Every time, like, he did it before, like, Indiana State. Like, anytime they say that, I mean, I'm a guard every game, but, like, it just adds extra motivation because.
He knows one, that too.
He, what he says. Yeah. It adds extra motivation because, like, I'm a competitor. Like, you're not going to tell me another guard better than me. Like, I don't like that.
We have you here today because we do want to go through your story a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we mentioned you're from Chicago. So tell us about growing up in a big city and tell mm-hmm. us about your family a little bit.
Growing up, my pops put the ball in my hand. Well, yeah, since I was young, I just always played basketball, played outside, playing one-on-one with my cousins. He was beating me all the time. I was crying.
Like, your cousin was?
Yeah. Like, I never beat him until I got older. And, like, I felt like that's why I built my competitive edge from. Because, like, anytime he had beat me, I, like, just keep challenging him to play again, again, again until I won. I never won, though. But, like, we just played one-on-ones for hours. And really just, I say a lot of open gyms with older players. And just, you know, Chicago, it's a different type of grit game. So, like, if you're not tough playing ball, they're going to sit you on the sideline and you ain't going to be able to play.
Yeah, people talk about, I say you think about, you know, New York and the outside basketball they play there and maybe it gets a little and one mixtape ish or mm-hmm. whatever. You said, you know, Chicago's a different game. What is Chicago basketball like?
Chicago, like, I feel like it's a dog-eat-dog world. Like, I'm from the south side of Chicago, and, like, out south we more of a, like, finesse game. We more skilled. But I also went to – I grew up playing basketball out west, too, and I feel like that's, like, a more grimy or gritty game. Like, yeah, out west, they'll push you out the air on the layup. Like, it's crazy out there.
Did you grow up a Bulls fan?
Nah. I was a D. Rose fan, but, like, I was always LeBron. So, you know, the Bulls and the Cavs, Bulls and uh-huh. the Heat. I was always Team LeBron growing up, but D. Rose is my favorite player.
All right, so LeBron's your all-time favorite.
LeBron, the best player ever.
Different
We're
conversation.
This is fixing to go off.
Wait, I don't know if it's safe for you two to be sitting Holy next to cow. Each other right
Who do you
now.
Think the best player ever is?
Where are you from?
Chicago.
Okay.
Ooh, Mike? Nah.
Here's what I tell you, okay? And this is all I got to say about it. We're going to pick teams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody you want from any time. And I'm going to give you the first pick.
I get the first pick.
Yeah, and you're going to take LeBron.
Yeah, I got LeBron.
And I'm going to win. And I really don't even care who your other four guys are. My team's going to win because I got the winner.
LeBron's a winner, too. He playing in a more competitive era. If Golden State didn't have that team with KD, Draymond, Steph, Klay, LeBron would have had 6-7 rings right now, too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Instead, he's lost, what, 5 or 6 finals? I've lost.
Mike ain't playing who Brian played.
They let you back in Chicago talking that noise?
Yeah. Some of my family members and my teammates don't like that, but it is what it is.
You don't ever go just look at the statue?
Because that's out west. I stay out south.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you have these same conversations back home, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. But my pops Brian, too. Like,
I don't. Brian. Here's the deal. I don't have, like, I'm not anti-LeBron. At all. It's just like, if my team's got Michael and yours has LeBron, my team's winning. That's it.
Respectfully. That's your opinion.
But he's phenomenal. I mean, like, I always say, like, God was showing off when he made LeBron James. And that's the truth.
For sure.
I'm guessing you had a lot of different options as far as coming out of high school.
Nah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Arkansas State is my only offer.
So how motivating was that when you did get to Arkansas State?
It was real motivated because, like, when I first came, I wasn't expected to play. Like, you know, we had Caleb Fields and we had, like, Mac Mansell. He was a high recruit coming in.
Yep.
So I was really just coming in expected to just play behind Caleb and just learn and get him, like, spot minutes. But I feel like when I came, I had a chip on my shoulder since the first day. And, like, that was always my mindset.
Yeah, I remember you played a lot right away. Mm-hmm. And – it didn't take you long to get into the starting lineup that true freshman season. And I just remember – a game in December of that freshman year when we played Little Rock at home, and you went off for like 25 points in that game, I think. But that was – it seemed like that was kind of your coming out party. And from that point on, you kind of had a different level of confidence. Mm-hmm. Am I right about
that?
Yeah,
for sure, for sure. I believe.
I thought you also had a really good case for freshman of the year at the end of the season. Yeah. And after the voting came out, we went to the conference tournament in Pensacola, and I don't know if I've ever actually asked you about this, but were you kind of motivated?
Yeah, I was real mad.
By that freshman of the year voting? Sure. Because you went off against Coastal Carolina. You had 25 points in that game. Mm-hmm. And I felt watching you that day like you were motivated by that.
Absolutely, for sure.
It's interesting, you know, it's kind of your sense of stuff to kind of making it come back to me, because you said you know, one offer, you're going to come in, you're going to play some spot minutes. And it's not that you never want somebody to get hurt, because obviously we'll talk about the following year where you had to sit a lot. But it's funny you brought up that name, Mac Mansell, who got hurt before the season got going. How much do you think that kind of opened the door, all of a sudden kind of bumped you up where they're going to need more from you faster than it might have been otherwise?
Yeah, it was unfortunate for him because, you know, he was a great guy, great player. But I just felt like God do everything for a reason. And, like, he actually helped me a lot that year, like, just motivating me, giving me tips on how to bump people off, get through the lane, make shots. Like, he was in the gym getting rebounds for me that day. That year, I mean. And so I just feel like when he went down, it was just a different type of hungriness, like, that I gotta step up immediately. And we was losing a lot of games, so I was just trying to do anything I can to win, because I love to win.
After that true freshman season, there was the coaching change. Mm-hmm. And you went in to the portal. You visited Texas State, right?
Yeah, I did.
And I remember seeing the post on social media and thinking, man, that just doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach Hodson gets hired. So tell us about that first conversation. How long did it take him to convince you to stay here at Arkansas State?
I'm not going to lie. It was the first conversation. Honestly, I did not want to leave Arkansas State, because I'm a firm believer in, like, just staying somewhere, stay loyal, because I always been on the move. And when I came here, I felt like real love from the community, not even just basketball, but just from the community. And like when he called me and told me his intentions with me in the program, I felt like that was like perfect timing, because I was at the airport when he called me, and we just had a long conversation. And just I had a lot of questions, and he was just telling me stuff that I never really even thought of from a basketball perspective. So I feel like that transformation was easy.
Has it gone the way he said it was going to go in that first conversation?
Yeah, for sure it has. Especially like with me coming back from injury, it's been going real good.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Wolves up.
Continuing to visit with Terrence Ford here on the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. I know you were excited about playing in the new system once you did kind of recommit to Arkansas State going into last year. But as we've talked about already, you got hurt before last season. You tried to return at one or two different points last year, but just couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So, number one, how frustrating was that initially to have to go through that process?
Man, it was tough because, you know, that was really my first time ever really having a real injury. So I was just down on myself a lot of days, and I didn't really know, like, the difference between, like, pain and injury was. So I was confused, scared sometimes to come back. And, like, it was just a lot of days where I didn't want to leave in my room, talk to a lot of people, because I feel like if I didn't really know myself besides being a basketball player.
It's funny we talk about being injured, but, I mean, I can remember I saw you one day at Subway. Mm-hmm. And then I heard you tell the same story the other day on the radio. I was called an injury, but you had an extra bone. Mm-hmm. I mean, tell us about that.
It was the doctors told me it was something that just kept building and building, because I tweaked my ankle a lot, so they told me if I didn't get it out, like, you can just continue to get worse and worse. And, like, at first I didn't want to get the surgery because I knew how challenging it was going to be to get back to playing. So I was trying to avoid it, but talking to the trainers and the coaching staff, they thought the best advice for me was to get surgery, so I wouldn't have got that done.
And then it's funny because the first time you told me that story, you told me you asked him if you could keep it. You asked him if you could keep the bone?
Yeah.
They didn't let you?
No, I don't think so, because I had to surgery, but I didn't really know what was going on.
You know, I'm sure they don't get asked that very often, but I think it'd be a pretty cool souvenir.
Well, no, I mean, it's one thing, like, all day, every day, they're yanking out tonsils and gallbladders and these things, maybe an appendix here and there, but not a lot of the times you hear, well, we got to take the, you know, this guy has an extra bone we got to take out. I can see wanting to keep that.
You've mentioned, and you talked about this on the radio show recently too, just how, yes, it was frustrating, but it was also kind of a blessing in disguise in a lot of ways, because you got to see this offense from a different point of view. And I know you and Caleb Fields were close. Mm-hmm. You called each other your twins, mm-hmm. which I thought was awesome that you had that kind of relationship. But watching Caleb run this offense last year, how beneficial was that for you going forward?
It was basically like just getting a head start for real, because like after every game, before the games, me and him would talk a lot about what we see and what we think about how the game going to be. And then just watching him go out and kill this last year, it just put a smile on my face because I love seeing everybody around me eat. It made me happy. It made me feel like I was playing even though I wasn't playing.
You still talking to Caleb? Is he keeping up with everything?
I talked to him the other day. Yeah, he keeping up with everything. He was happy we got that dub against App State. Oh, yes,
yeah. you sit out last year. You're able to watch. You're able to learn things in a lot of ways. But it still was about a year and a half stretch where you're really not playing basketball, not, at least not on a consistent basis. So even when this season started, you're not thinking about it this way, at least not at first, but you know, it's reasonable that it's going to take a while to kind of get back to 100% and kind of back in a groove again. So when did it kind of click once again for you this season? I mean, did it take a few games just being out there again to kind of get back to where you were before?
During the beginning of the summer, I was getting back to that point, getting comfortable. But then, like a lot of people don't know, I had surgery again on the same ankle this summer. And was kind of putting me back again. Like, I didn't really get ready to play until, like, September, October. So the beginning of the season was kind of hard for me because I was dealing with like a lot of ankle soreness and like a lot of nagging body injuries because I haven't played basketball in so long. But I feel like around after Christmas break, I feel like I started to get more comfortable, just watching more film, getting confidence from my coaches and teammates.
How big of a hurdle or kind of a stumbling block was it to, I guess, mentally let yourself cut loose on that ankle and finally convince yourself, all right, this thing's good, we can go full speed?
Just opportunity. Like, I know what type of team we got this year, and I'm not trying to miss out no more success within the team because I want to be able to enjoy winning with my brothers while also giving them my all. And I feel like that's what I'm doing this year. Like, I don't care what type of injury I got, I'm pushing through everything this year because I feel like I know what type of team we got and the chances that we can make to get to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you mentioned how it seemed like it kind of clicked over the Christmas break. It did seem like conference play, you kind of turned it into another gear. You know, what you've done in conference so far, you're leading the league now in assist-to-turnover ratio. And look, the assists are really impressive, but the way you and the rest of your teammates are protecting the basketball, not turning it over, I'm sure you take as much pride in that as anything else, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I feel like that's my job as a point guard. You know, you're supposed to take control of the ball. So just taking care of the ball every day and practice and games, that's what I'm supposed to do. Because if you turn the ball over in practice, you got to run. So I just feel like it's just healthy habits that we build.
So there's a possession in the second half Thursday against App State where it seems like you spent the bulk of the possession just running back and forth along the baseline, side to side, seeing how many guys you get to chase you. Like, I don't know if you remember this possession.
Now,
tell me what's going on right there.
Just as Coach Jamie would say, just carry over. You know, just keeping the dribble alive. Don't pick your dribble up until you see an opening. And I just kept probing around. Then the two big step up, and I seen Big Shot down there for a layup.
You know, we talk about blessings in disguise from last year, you know, with you sitting out. But there was a time during the Little Rock game, you tried to play in that game at Little Rock last year, and then Caleb got hurt in the same game. Mm-hmm. And that's when Terran Todd really had to start playing some point as well. And up until that point, he wasn't playing at the one.
Yeah.
So there were plenty of times last year where he kind of had to play that position. He learned it. And now I think it's an interesting dynamic with you and Terran this season because both of you guys are just so flexible. You can each play the one or the two, and you seem just as comfortable at either spot. Am I right about that?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I agree.
What's that dynamic been like with him, though?
Man, what's crazy is I said after the season last year, like, I couldn't – he was the main player that I couldn't wait to play with because of his exciting brand of ball. Like, he brings something out of everybody. Like, when T-Todd going crazy getting a bucket, it just made me want to go get a stop and get him the ball right back. Like, I like when he getting going because I feel like he get the team going, too, because, you know, he's so nonchalant, and he's been through a lot. So I'm just real happy to see him shining and progressing every day. And I feel like, to me personally, I feel like he's an NBA player.
This is, you ever played with a guy like that that's just, I mean, just a bucket getter? Like, if you need to go get a bucket, that guy's going to find a way to
go get a bucket.
He's going to
get a bucket every time. Like, yeah, T-Todd, one of them. One of them ones.
You know, it's so amazing with this team, though. And we kind of, we're amazed, too, just watching it because there's so many different guys that can step up and help win games for you. I mean, you go back to the conference opener against Coastal. You got a freshman comes off the bench, plays 15 minutes, and scores 26 points, and Josh Hill. And Darian, I know he was frustrated there for a few games, and then he goes off the other day against Texas State and scored a season high with 19 points. And the way Joseph Pinion just continues to get better, it seems like, every time out. I mean, there's so many different guys that can step up and hit those big shots for you.
I feel like that's what makes us so special because you could try to take away one player, but we got like 14 other guys that have come do the same thing. Like, I feel like that's what makes us so unique and so special. Like, it's hard to game plan for us.
You talked about, you know, how Mac was a guy that even when he was hurt, you know, helped you, and then you've had to do more than your fair share sitting and watching last year. So, you know, what do you or some of the other vets, you know, what do you say to these young guys when they have to go through stretches sometimes that they don't get their name called as much as they want to? So what are the vets? It's one thing for coaches to talk to them, but what do the old guys say to these young guys to make them make sure they stay ready?
Yeah, I was in that position before, so I know coming from your peers, it feel better. So, like, I talk to the young guys, like, more than I ever have because I always trying to keep them motivated because I feel like we got a lot of young guys on our team who can be real pros. Right now, I'm just letting them know, like, they're on a good team right now, and God make no mistakes. Like, the best way to learn is going through adversity, and right now you can learn to be a teammate, push us in practice every day, and just stay ready when your number called. Like, for example, Justin Johnson, when he got in the other day, he got, like, 7 quick points. Like, that's what I'm saying. You just got to stay ready. Josh Hill, Cody Head, a lot of people don't know about him. He really good. He really good. He can step up and come play good any night. I feel like our whole team just elite.
It seems like you guys really have a good mindset as a team right now, you included. And then obviously there's some big goals down the road, but there's a whole lot of people patting you on the back right now because things are going well. So how do you stay grounded through all this and remain humble and focused? Because, look, this can easily go to your heads right now with all the success that you're having at this point in the year. How do you stay level-headed?
We don't really look at it as success right now because, like, we all know our ultimate goal. We know what we're capable of. So right now we just trying to – we don't even feel like we're playing at our best basketball right now. So we just – we don't really get into the media. We know people going to have their yeses and nos with us. So we just keep our head straight and just keep everything in a circle.
You've already been through a 4-game conference road stretch that you start looking at the numbers again. We're talking about one of, if not the toughest road stretches a team's ever gone on in this league. But you're about to go on another one. So what did you guys learn about having to play 4 on the road in conference play that's going to help you this time and you get ready to do it again?
I feel like we learned to stay composed and just stand within ourselves. Like, we did a lot of uncharacteristic things. And, like, at the same time, everybody got to remember, Kobe Julian didn't play, what, 2 or 3 of those games?
Yeah.
And, like, we know what we're going to be able to, we're capable of. I feel like we just got it. We wasn't composed during that 4-game stretch.
4 in a row on the road starts this week, Wednesday at 7 against Southern Miss, and then Saturday at 4 against Texas State. Obviously, you want to try to keep the momentum rolling, but I believe you when you say that you're focused on the ultimate prize. You feel like you can play better basketball. And right now, as high of a level as you're playing right now, it is kind of scary to think about just how good this team can be once you are playing it at your highest level.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, that's why we just always focus. We don't, like, we win games, but we are coming to the locker room just quiet. Like, I know a lot, I've been on the part of a lot of teams, but we win games, everybody's just happy, happy. Like, it's been some days we won games and everybody's in the locker room mad. That's when I knew we were special.
Big picture. You want to go into coaching someday?
Yeah, I do, for sure. When I'm done with basketball, I want to become a coach.
All right, so.
At what level?
High school. Well, it don't really matter. Wherever God put me at. Because, you know, I feel like I can develop. Because I feel like I done been through the good side and the bad side of it. So, wherever God put me.
Did you want to be a coach before last season? Because I know you've told me that, you know, just watching from the sideline last year, you saw the game through the eyes of a coach. So, is that kind of what sparked the interest in coaching?
Yeah, for sure. Because before last year, I didn't really think about nothing but basketball. So, like, last year when that happened, like, I felt the impact that I could make on the sidelines without even playing.
Well, before we get out of here, because he just said some things that are going to offer me a perfect segue here, because there's not a question at the end of this. And I could say it to, there's more than just you I could say it to, but you're chief among them, and so you're going to have to sit through it. Because it's all these things about weaving together things you've said in this conversation about the way this community loved on you. But then you talked about, you know, sitting last year and all these things. So a lot of people know, like, so one of my kids, you know, comes with me to all the games and loves being around it and all this and that. And the reason I say people know it because they stop me all the time and talk about him going out on the floor and helping in promotions and stuff. But really the thing he likes the most about coming to games is being around our guys. Mm. So a couple of things. That's not unique to my kid because, you know, as a parent, you know, all the things you guys do is the number of kids y'all stop and talk to before you ever leave the floor after a game and take pictures with. I mean, for parents, that's more impactful than your stat line or winning and losing. But for Brody, like, I'll tell you a couple of neat things. Number one, he's never played basketball in his life, but he came up this year in his sixth grade year wanting to play. That's from being around you guys.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about it. Never mentioned wanting to play. Mm-hmm. This year camp wanting to play. So times he's missed games this year, it's been because he's had a game. The other thing that's funny is the impact you guys have on kids is that, like, I heard him and we were driving down the road and he and his little brother were actually having a conversation and not fighting, which is pretty amazing. So I was just
yeah, that's rare.
I was just kind of eavesdropping on it. And they were talking about, you know, they don't have social media, but Brody said, well, when I get, you know, like Instagram or X, first thing I'm going to do is, you know, follow my friends. Like, you know, T-Baby and Zay. that's the exact verbatim what he said. First thing I will do is follow my friends, like T-Baby and Zay. So,
how cool is that to hear, though?
That's amazing because I just know, like, the type of effect that we have on them. So I try to be, like, as good of as a role model as I can and try to show them as much love. Because I know that feeling, like, when you're young and you see, like, someone you look up to, and I just know it feels good when you can just get in contact with them.
All right, we'll wrap it up with this. For those people who haven't heard the T-Baby story, how'd you get the name?
To be honest, I don't know how I got the name, but I just know I used to cry a lot. That's what, I feel like that's where the name came from. I think my AAU coach, my first AAU coach, I think he was the first one to call me that. Well, my parents, I don't know how it came, but, like, I know when it, the first time somebody told me it, they just ran with it forever.
And you've embraced it.
Yeah, I have, for sure, for sure.
Well, Terrence, we appreciate you coming in. This has been a lot of fun. So much fun watching you guys play right now. And can't wait to see the rest of the season.
Appreciate you for having me.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC.
FDIC Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Had a lot of fun talking men's hoops with Terrence Ford, but man, it's fun talking about those women right now as well, as the win streak is up to 8 in a row now for Destiny Rogers' team. A great road trip, winning a couple of road games back-to-back by double digits, including the win on Thursday in Lafayette over the Cajuns, 62-49. This was a game where they were in control the entire way. It was the second time they beat the Cajuns in the past week. And I know they were motivated. It was fun hearing from Destiny Rogers during Live with the Red Wolves on Tuesday of last week, because she said when they were going through the handshake line after they had beat the Cajuns a week before in Jonesboro, it was an overtime win, and I guess some of their players said, hey, we're going to beat you in Lafayette next week. And I know that was enough to motivate our girls going into that game. Just the defense, 16 steals. They forced 24 turnovers. Kennedy Montu with 16 points. And Winter Rogers had a double-double in that game, 11 points and 11 rebounds, but just a really, really solid win in Lafayette.
Yeah, I mean, because you just knew what you were getting to, right? I mean, it was a dogfight. It was a team that you just basically had to score at the buzzer to beat in overtime at your place. And then you had to try and go play them in theirs. But they should be making believers of folks at this point.
Yeah.
Myself included. I mean, and look, and I mean, I'm pretty quick to jump on. But even then, like, I thought they would really, really be in a scrap in Lafayette. I mean, I thought it'd be hard to get out of there with a win.
And to go in there and win by 13, just extremely impressive. And then they go into Mobile on Saturday and win at South Alabama, 82-71.
And that's a different sort of test, right? In its own way, it's a different kind of a unique challenge, because South Alabama not won a conference game. You're on the back end of a road swing. You've won 7 in a row. Can you go in there and handle your business? And that was really a tussle through at least the first half and into the third quarter, probably about midway before we kind of got some distance from them. So call it a trap or whatever you like, but, I mean, that was a different sort of challenge for this team, saying, hey, if you're as good as you say you are and you're where you are in the standings and you've won 7 in a row, can you go in a place like that and handle your business? And they did.
Former podcast guest Zion Shannon with 14 points in that game to lead the way for the Red Wolves. And they're now 8-1 in conference play, and that's got them all alone now in second place in the Sun Belt standings behind James Madison. How about this stretch we're about to have? 6 in a row, right, at home. When was the last time that happened? Has it ever happened?
Yeah, that's a good question. Boy, there are some oddities in the Sun Belt scheduling. And this is one of them. Now, also, we'll say this includes the home game in the MAC challenge.
Yeah.
Because the women have
still.
It, but still, I mean, it's still 5 straight conference games at home. It would be and an open date that's got the MAC game in it. And then they're going to turn around and play their last 4 on the road to close out the regular season.
Yeah.
I don't blame the coaches for being frustrated by that. There's two things I think that really have these coaches keyed up about the conference scheduling, and that's 4 game swings, especially 4 game road trips, and then all of this time where you're playing a team twice in a week, basically, or a week apart.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
A lot of that. I don't think coaches like it a lot, and I don't blame them. But anyway, 6 game homestand starting Thursday night.
Yep.
And I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but I want to sit down and kind of go start looking at the kind of at the year by year, working backwards to kind of see when there's been, you know, at this point, it's a bigger conference home game than the one coming up here Thursday night.
You're going to have to go back a ways.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, Troy, really good, as usual, but should be a really fun game coming up on Thursday night. 7 o'clock tip time to begin that 6-game homestand. Would love to see a big crowd in Jonesboro. And then Saturday at 2, the women trying to beat South Alabama for the second time in a week.
Big week. I mean, let me talk before we get out of here, before we get from women's basketball. Thursday night, if you bring a food donation, or for that matter, even a monetary donation for the A-State Food Pantry, you get free admission. And plus, like, you actually can help A-State win twice, not just the A-State women, but as a university, we're going into, and this is really some of our people on campus that are going into a competition with other schools in the conference throughout from now to the end of February to see who can raise the most, who can get the most food donations. And so it's called the Sunbelt Food Fight. And so, like, this is the start to the Sunbelt Food Fight, the game Thursday night. So not only can you see the game for free by bringing a donation, not only can you come to the game and help the A-State women win, you can also help A-State win the Sunbelt Food Fight as we go along in February. So we can get that off to a great start. Yep. Thursday night. And then Saturday is Alumni Day. Hopefully as many former players back as possible. I've heard, as we sit here today, at least half of that 50-year team probably going to be in the house. I've talked to Coach Jerry Ann Winters, who's planning on being in the house Saturday.
Love it.
So a lot of the names you saw and known, you've heard about or cheered for along the way in the great history of this program are going to be at First National Bank Arena Saturday at 2. And it's also, you know, the team's going to wear their, you know, their pink stuff. It's their Play for K game as well. So a lot of stuff going on Saturday. And we're getting, oh, there's actually a shirt. I really, really, really like this shirt we're giving out Saturday. Probably by the time you're listening to this podcast, we might have put the artwork out, but I'm a big fan of this giveaway shirt for Saturday's women's game.
Some other notes to get to. Indoor track and field. They were competing at the Fighting Illini Challenge over the weekend. Kiara Strayhorn winning the high jump. Cameron Bailey winning the men's 60 meters. And another big note from the weekend, Carly Pujol was second in the pole vault at 4.03 meters. That's the second best pole vault in school history. So considering all the great pole vaulters we've had over the years, that's a really big deal for Carly. And a pair of events coming up this weekend, the Lenny Lyles Invitational in Louisville and the Stan Scott Invitational in Lubbock will have track and field athletes competing at both of those events. Bowling was competing at the Prairie View Invitational in Arlington over the weekend.
Yeah, they didn't have their best Sunday when it got to bracket play. Kind of a rough day for them. That kind of ended the weekend on a worse note than live was. They were kind of in a decent position, but not the best day on Sunday. And golly, I guess it's true that every once in a while everybody has a rough day because bowling doesn't have many.
They don't have many bad days, and the good news is they'll get a couple of weeks in between events, and the next time they'll compete is during the Midwinter Invitational, their home tournament. Obviously, we'll be talking about that as that event gets closer to time. Tennis did not play this past week. They've got a couple of matches coming up this week, though. They're going to be at St. Louis Friday at 1, and then they'll be at Mississippi State Sunday at 3. And do want to mention baseball. Grand Slam Banquet, one of our favorite events of the year, coming up this Friday. First time we've ever had it on a Friday. Usually this is early in the week, and usually it's the first week of the season. But I love it that we're doing it 2 weeks before the first game, and also love it that we're doing it at the Embassy this year. And should be a really, really good event. I know Maya Garrett's put a lot of hard work into it, trying to make it look great. And I'm looking forward to being there to host it again. And you're looking forward to Mike Matheny being there. What a great guest for the Grand Slam.
Yeah, he'll be a really good speaker. I'm sure he'll be talking about the Matheny Manifesto.
Yeah, I went through and reread that the other day, which I think is great for anyone to read, especially youth baseball and softball parents. If you're a travel ball parent, that is the ultimate reading guide. The other thing we want to mention with baseball, that field's looking incredible. The team's been out there practicing on it, but we had the video board go in this past week.
It didn't take long at all.
Took down the old one and put in the new. The conversation I've had with a couple of people now, the field looks amazing. I mean, the turf, if you've seen any pictures at all, It looks great.
And I went out on it for the first time last week. And just to get a feel for like the different dimensions and then just to see it up close. Yeah, it's really nice.
It's a smaller park. We know, anybody who follows A-State baseball knows, it's always been a pitcher's park because it's a big ballpark to begin with. You know, 335 down the lines, 380 in the power alley, and 400 to dead center. Well, they've moved the plate out. They've moved the fences in, the new fences in, and it's 325 down the lines, 365 in the power alleys, and 385 to dead center.
Yep.
So Coach Silva says, look, people want to see offense, and I get it. I mean, we're going to see more home runs for sure hit at the Tom this year. Yeah.
And, two, you know, it's it was interesting because it was such a big ballpark for so many years that you almost had to pick your poison because you had to build your roster one way, right? I mean, you couldn't play for the three-run homer at the time. So if that's where you played 30 times a year, you had to build your team one way. But then maybe when you went all these places on the road, you weren't as well equipped to play in different sort of parks. So I just think that the word I've heard Coach Silva say to me several times, it will play more true now than it probably has in the past.
Yeah, we've seen balls crushed so many times over the years that didn't make it to the warning track. I mean, just absolutely killed. And because of the ballpark and the wind may be blowing straight in, as it often does, did not leave the yard. But it's one of many neat additions to the ballpark. But it's cool that we've got the bullpens set up in the outfield now, just beyond the fence down the left field line is the visiting bullpen. They're not on the field to play anymore. Down the left field line in foul territory, they're actually beyond the fence. And same thing down the right field line with the home team bullpen. But we've talked about it many times over the years, the 30 or 40,000 cars that go up and down Red Wolf Boulevard every single day. And they used to look at an old track, and then the Embassy Suites went in. And that was such a big upgrade. And, of course, we've had all the great football upgrades that look so good driving down Red Wolf Boulevard. Baseball's always been an eyesore for a long time, that field. Now you see the turf. But I think when you drive by and you see that video board on in right field, that's a game changer. That, to me, is as big of a deal as the new field.
And I love, you know, you saw, and by the time it got to Saturday, you know, you'd seen they had come in, not just get the video board in, but come above it and put an A-State logo and some decoration kind of above it. It looks really nice. Can't wait to see it all on. And, you know, the team's actually there to a point now. There was actually an issue in some of the construction with, there was a little stretch of time where the lights wouldn't work, honestly, but that's squared away. Like, it got squared in time where now, you know, our baseball team is on that field practicing now, getting ready to open the season Valentine's Day.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about here?
Well, you know, first of all, thank everybody for a big week. But then just say, I mean, let's have another one. You know, right now with what the women are doing and getting back home and the big games we talked about here coming up, I've made something up where I didn't make it up. I added it up the other day and tweeted out, you know, kind of if you combine men's and women's basketball, we'd be leading the league by a game and a half or two games over anybody else with the combined record of now, I guess it's now 15-3 after two more wins Saturday.
Yeah.
Combined conference record, best in the league.
I love the other thing you put out.
With volleyball?
With volleyball, just the combined home record with basketball and volleyball.
Yeah, those three teams right now. So regular season home games this school year in First National Bank Arena, A-State's 29-1.
That's unbelievable.
And then somebody replied to that tweet, said, hey, throw Centennial Bank Stadium in there, and it bumps it up to 34-2.
We got a heck of a home court or home field advantage, no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, and I guess we'd ended up with this is like, right, quite honestly, it's easy. It's easy to lose track of because we all like to maybe focus on things that can get better or what's not going right. But, my gosh, a lot of stuff's going good.
Yeah.
So let's enjoy it.
Yeah, we're just having a whole lot of fun this year. I mean, if you look at the success and just everything around it, the participation from the fan base to the performance on the field and the court, it's a lot to be excited about right now. So hopefully we got a lot more good stuff coming.
I'll give you all one little inside tidbit kind of about the men's basketball games this week, and then we can take it to the house. You know, we start looking at, like, the tickets that were out to the games. There are actually more tickets out to Saturday's game than Thursday night's ESPN2 game.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so the difference in the number was, you know, the 61-12 to 57 whatever was represented in the difference in the student IDs. And that just is what it is. Like, we understand, and I think our students get an unfair shake a lot of times, to be honest with you. But the thing we know is that the student section is the opposite of everything else in the arena. Because everywhere else in the arena, they're going to show up more on Saturday than they do on the weeknight. And the student section is the exact opposite. Like, they're going to really come flooding in on the weeknight.
Yeah.
And then they're not there as much on the weekend. You just know that's kind of how that goes. And so, but yeah, there were actually, the rest of the arena, there were more folks there, more tickets out to Saturday's game than Thursday's game.
To have a four-game homestand and go no less than 5,200 for any of the games, just phenomenal. So
I see Old Dominion must have heard the footsteps. I saw the number they put.
I did check to see if we were leading the league in attendance yet, and they're up about 100 a game on us right now.
Well, they put out a 6,600 or something on Saturday.
Oh, wow. They were playing James Madison, too, so I'm sure some JMU fans came in there as well for that game. But, yeah, they draw well. We got to catch them, though, and we've got four more chances at home to do that.
The next time the men are home is actually going to be on a Wednesday night in a couple weeks, part of a doubleheader, and it's going to be Howl on the Hardwood night for SAB. So that's the night where the student section's going to be.
Can't wait.
Yeah, jam-packed. So I can't wait. We will have some fun that night.
Thanks to Terrence Ford for coming in. Really, really enjoyed our visit with him. Just a great young man, and really having fun watching him play this year. Thanks to Caleb Garner for setting that up. For Brad, I'm Matt. Thanks, as always, for listening. We hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and the Kavanaugh Auto Group.